Hello and welcome to a new episode of From Beirut. Again, as you see here, we are on the outskirts of the southern suburbs of Beirut. And today our show is going to be a bit shorter than usual. So let's go ahead and start with the latest developments. First of all, I'd like to welcome to the show today Dr. Mohammed Suaidin, academic and writer in international affairs. Welcome, Dr. Mohammed. Thank you. Today we are going to be talking about a few points, starting off, of course, as the Israeli media continues to report the difficult situations in southern Lebanon. All through the middle of the night, the resistance continues to put out a statement of their latest accomplishment, and they have also mentioned that there is a new phase of the confrontation that will be revealed through developments and events in the coming days. In addition, as we know, Israel's Netanyahu has vowed Gaza's war will not be over. It is not over after Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar's alleged killing. We're going to be talking about Kamala Harris, about the U.S.'s response, and of course, Yemen's Houthi. To start off today, Dr. Mohammed, we are going to start off with the situation in Lebanon. The Lebanese Health Ministry yesterday has updated their numbers. So far, just over the past 24 hours, we've had 45 martyrs, 179 wounded, which has brought the toll to over 2,000, almost 2,500 martyrs in Lebanon. With everything going on, we continue to see the Israeli entity committing their aggression and crime, specifically in southern Lebanon and on refugees, of course. There are no more targets, I believe, here in southern suburbs. It's been relatively calm. How do you, or what's your analysis of the situation, specifically in Lebanon at the moment?
Well, I think what this war proves till now is what it has proved in the last years, that Israel is a terrorist entity, is an entity that doesn't take care about international law, international humanitarian law, the Geneva Conventions, and everything regarding humanity. And, you know, we have been paying martyrs in Lebanon. Do you know why? It's because we refused to stay silent when 40,000 people were killed in Gaza. We are the country that refused to just look to the other side while kids and women were killed in Gaza. That's why Israel is now killing our children, is killing our women, is killing our men. We are the true defenders of our humanity. We are the people who really know what is a human rights. We are the ones that don't just raise the signs of human rights. We are the ones that don't just speak about human rights. We are the ones who truly defend the humanity. That's what we are paying for today, and that's what the whole world should know. Why this war is happening? It's because we stood with 40,000 people killed in Gaza, and I think this war is just at the beginning. Israel thought that in the last couple of weeks it has so many tactical achievements that it can lead to a victory. But what the resistance did is that it told them yesterday that I started today, and the escalation is still yet to come. And that's what the Israelis should think about, and that's what the world should know, that everything that happened before is only one stage. The other stages will be written by the resistance in Lebanon.
Well, Dr. Mohammed, I mean, as many people here in Lebanon follow, as everyone who supports the resistance knows, usually their statements start to be issued after midnight, from midnight all the way to the early morning hours. So yesterday, one of their statements, the Islamic Resistance Operation Room released that based on the directives of the resistance leadership, that they have announced a new transition, as you mentioned, in the escalatory phase in the confrontation with the enemy. They have also said that since in under a month, they have detected the death of around 55 Israeli occupation officers and are wounding around 500 soldiers. What does this show of the resistance capabilities, as you mentioned, specifically in the southern villages?
Well, this first shows that everything that Israel achieved in the first 2 weeks just has gone.
Yes.
In the last statements the resistance said. Well, let's ask ourselves, why did Israel do everything it did? Why did it kill Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah? Why did it kill leaders in Hezbollah? Why did it kill more than 2,000 people? It's mainly because depending on a strategy called cut the head.
Yeah.
Because this strategy says that when you cut the head of a system, the whole system collapses. So it cut the head based depending on the system to collapse. What happened in return is that the system was stronger than it thought. It stood, and it's now starting the war. And that's what the resistance has been saying since 1 week till now. And that's what the Israelis should know. And that's why. And I think that's what the Israelis are thinking about today. So what's happening in the resistance writings yesterday.
Yes.
Is that it's only telling the Israelis that your strategy failed, and now let's see our strategies, whether they will fail or not. And it seems that our strategy is leading to hundreds of injuries. It's leading to people killed from your army. It's leading for us to not make Israel a safe entity. And let's not forget that when Israel was established in 1948, it had two reasons: to be a safe state for Jews around the world, and to be a strong state that could serve the West. Now Israel is not a safe state for Jews, and definitely it's not a strong state that serves the West. It, as a matter of fact, now it's a weak state that needs the West to serve her, or serve it all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what the resistance today is telling them. That's what the resistance today is assuring it, that no place for Jews safe in Israel. No, Israel is not a strong state that could serve the West. And I think that what's happening since last week till now, with the injuries and the killings and the Merkavas and destroyed and everything, it's just an expression of the first phase of the resistance. And let us just remember that the resistance said that this is the first phase and we have an escalation. So the hundreds of injuries will be thousands.
Yes.
The tens of killed will be hundreds. And the hundreds of missiles and rockets fired by the resistance will be more than that. That's what the resistance is telling Israel, and that's a reflection of failure of Israel in the last 2 weeks.
Well, as you did mention there, Dr. Muhammad, about the resistance strategy, specifically concerning the weapons that they're using. Another one of their statements yesterday said that they have carried out strikes using various types of missiles, including precision-guided ones used for the first time. As we know, around 4 to 5 days ago, inside occupied lands, some people claimed it was Hezbollah's first air raid using the drone. Yeah. What is their strategy by slowly revealing these new technologies, in your opinion?
Look, I think that the resistance, Hezbollah, is realistic. They do know that Israel has much more weapons, Israel has much more technology, and because of this difference in power between Israel and the resistance has to abide by a certain strategy. This certain strategy needs to just move from one phase to another, let the escalation move through time, and use new weapons with every new phase.
Yes.
That's the strategy. It's because Israel can pay the price of so many tactical benefits, even if they didn't have any strategic benefit. Whereas the resistance, because of the difference between power, it's obliged to concentrate on the strategic successes. And that's what it's saying. So it's keeping new types of weapons for every new phase. Because every time you enter a new type of weapon, you will have a strategic success. And that's what the resistance is doing. And I think in the next phase, we're gonna see new types of drones, we're gonna see different types of missiles, and we're gonna see more injuries and killed people in the army of Israel.
Well, I do want to talk a bit about yesterday, Hezbollah's member of parliament, Fadlallah, actually spoke. First of all, he said the Speaker Berre and Prime Minister Mikolte are exerting efforts to reach a ceasefire, and we are coordinating with the Speaker Berre. Do you believe we could perhaps see a ceasefire anytime soon?
Well, for me, I don't think anytime soon there is a ceasefire that could happen. It's mainly because Israel didn't achieve anything till now. And, well, if it accepted the ceasefire now, so then it will be a huge failure for an entity that have been failing for the past year in Gaza. And I think that Israel till now isn't ready for that failure. I think it still wants to bargain in Lebanon in the next phase, and that's why what's happening today is that the U.S. is pressuring the Lebanese politicians. It's trying to have some kind of success in politics that Israel couldn't achieve in the war. So they are trying to push politicians to try to convince them that, well, the resistance is weak, let's just have a new politics in Lebanon where the resistance is out of it and everything. So that's what the U.S. is trying to do. But I think that the U.S. deeply knows, that politics in Lebanon without the resistance is impossible. And Israel, till now, doesn't know, but will know and will be convinced that whatever you did in Lebanon, you can never achieve your goals. And that's the important thing. Today we have two sides fighting. We have the military side of the resistance, and we have the political side of the resistance and its allies in Lebanon.
Yes.
Those are pressuring, are fighting the pressure of the U.S., and those are fighting the military pressure of Israel.
Well, also one more thing I do want to focus on from MP Fadlallah. He said so far the Israeli enemy hasn't been able to control any border village, and it's adopting a policy of film and run. Could you perhaps elaborate for our viewers what this expression means?
Well, you know, it seems that the Israeli army has been watching Hollywood for a long time. What they are doing is that they are just searching for any place inside of the Lebanese villages to just take pictures, put the flag of Israel, and just go back towards the occupied Palestinian lands.
Yeah.
So that's what they're doing. They didn't have the ability to just control the Lebanese lands. And why? Because we have resistance there that's making them paying so much a price, so that staying there is so costly, so that they enter, they put the Israeli flag, they take a picture, and let us see how they take the picture. They take the picture and just run.
Yes.
It's as if they are escaping. They just need the picture. This is the type of thing you see in movies about cowards.
Perhaps they want proof?
Yeah, it's about, they want something to satisfy themselves, something to satisfy their people, and something to convince the world that they are still a strong entity. As a matter of fact, this is what cowards do. You know what cowards, they go towards the fight, they yell and just try to start
escaping.
Well, it's
sort of significant because in opposition we have the resistance who are basically fighting in the shadows, as some have described.
Yeah, exactly. Not only fighting in the shadows. Let's just speak from the military perspective.
Yes.
You know, Israel has been putting about between 50,000 and 70,000 personnel on the borders with Lebanon.
Yes.
Fighting those, there's only thousands of Lebanese people. So these thousands of Lebanese people are letting the Israelis only have the goal of taking a picture.
Sure.
And that's what 70,000 Israeli military people have been doing, supported by the number one strong military in the world, the U.S., supported by strong economies in the world. So this whole package of allies, strong military, strong support, strong economy and everything, now it's standing in front of thousands of Lebanese people, and their target is only to enter, take pictures and move away like cowards.
Well, yesterday we did have a few reactions to the death of Yahya Sinwar. First of all, as we know, it's from Netanyahu, who said it doesn't mean that it's the end to the war. He still has some objectives that he does want to achieve. And also U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, who is actually, as we know, candidate to becoming a U.S. president, she reacted saying that this moment gives us an opportunity to finally end the war in Gaza. Iran's mission to the United Nations said that the spirit of the resistance will be strengthened following the martyrdom of Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar. Are these expected reactions to this unfortunate news?
Well, I think there's two types of reactions. The Americans are trying to benefit from the news to just convince Netanyahu to finish that, to end the war that has been moving for 1 year. Whereas Netanyahu is seeing it as an opportunity to continue. So we have these both reactions. But what I think is that the problem with Kamala Harris is that she lies between two things. She's either the number one liar in the world, because she has been saying for the past year that she wants to stop the war, but the war is continuing. So you're either a big liar, or you're the number one failed foreign policy vice president.
Yes, exactly.
in the U.S. So you're either a liar, or a failure in foreign policy. She can choose, and she can be both. I think for me, she is both. But what people are seeing is that she's either a lying or a failure in foreign policy, and that's what we are seeing today. What she is saying is that this is a chance to end the war is only another reflection of either a liar or a failure in foreign policy. And I think that history will state that the Biden administration, Harris, is the most failed administration in the history of the U.S. It has said, I think, hundreds of times what it prefers in Gaza, what it prefers in Lebanon, and the Israelis are doing just another thing. All its allies, all the U.S. allies today, view what Israel is doing, and they are seeing that, the U.S. really is weak in foreign policy. The U.S. isn't the same number one state that it was after the 1990s. And that's something we can't ignore. One of the things we saw after the Gaza war is that really the U.S. in foreign policy has been doing so much failure that that history will state.
Well, I do want to get into today's show, something that did not receive enough headlines. Yesterday, an Israeli entity actually committed another massacre on a UNRWA school sheltering displaced families in Jabalia, killing, according to numbers, 28. But the situation is that everyone who was following the news live could see the tents that were burning, the people who were screaming. This is not the first time it's gone over media, people being burned alive with no water and nothing to help them. And actually, yesterday, Sayyid Abd al-Malik al-Houthi in Yemen actually said that the Israeli enemy actually resorts to mass killings and assassinations when it fails in the battlefield. What do you believe of what he said?
Well, this is what we have seen in all the wars in Lebanon. Whenever Israel has no place to go, whenever it is in front of so many failures, and whenever the resistance has making so many successes, it just goes and kills people, kills civilians. And this is its true identity. I think that the whole world today knows that Israel kills children.
Yes.
Israel kills women. Israel kills men. Israel burns civilians alive. Israel destroys hospitals. This is the truth that Israel can no more ignore. And this is, let us just remember that the U.S. has paid billions and billions of dollars to prove to the world that Israel is the number one democratic state in West Asia. Well, where did these billions of dollars go today? Today, Israel, for many around the world, is the number one terrorist state in the region, and that's what it's proving day after day. And you know, but this puts a huge role on people living outside, especially in the West, especially people who speak different languages. Well, the truth, it's now the time to decide, for everyone to decide, whether you truly defend the humanity or you only like to hear about the humanity. If you truly defend the humanity, we're not asking anyone to come and fight with us. We don't need anyone to fight with us. We believe we are strong to defend ourselves.
Yes.
But for yourselves, for history to remember you as the ones who stood with the humanity, speak the truth.
Well, demonstrations have been carried out, as we know, across the world. What more do you believe people outside, specifically in the West, can do to take their part in the resistance?
Well, first of all, I believe that whatever they will do and they can do, it's first of all for themselves, for history to remember them as the people who defended the humanity, and second of all, to stand with children, to stand with women and men and civilians killed. What they can do is that, first of all, their role on social media is so much important.
Yes.
Today today's social media is the number one media platform that affects people around the world. So everyone in different languages, whatever language you speak, just speak the truth on social media. Try to pressure your governments. Try to have collaborations with different NGOs and different organizations, different groups, to pressure your governments to tell the people what's the true identity of Israel, what's the true identity of the resistance. Because today there's a huge American campaign to tell the world that the resistance is a terrorist group. Well, the resistance are the ones who are defending against occupations, are the ones who are refusing children being killed. And that's what people around the world should say, and people around the world should tell.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Mohammed, as you mentioned, very interesting and important points. What about boycotting? A lot of people say that boycotting is a very good option for anyone who wants to stand with the resistance. However, you have some people saying, this one bottle of this drink, for example, or this hamburger will not make a difference. Could you elaborate how important boycotting is truly?
Let me first speak about, I just remembered the pagers.
Yes.
The pagers, what Israel did is that it did a huge tactical achievement, but I think it's the most important strategic failure. Why? 53% of Israel's exports are high-tech exports, products. 20% of Israel's GDP is high-tech exports.
Yes.
So what it did is that it weaponized 20% of its GDP. It weaponized 53% of its exports. Does people trust high-tech Israeli products after that? I think that's a big question. Boycotting is first of all protecting yourself.
Yes.
Israel is an entity that is willing to weaponize everything it exports. It's willing to weaponize everything its allies exports. Be sure that you may be a target for Israeli experts one day. So boycotting is protecting yourself, number one. Number two, Israel treats itself as a state. So economy is a very important thing in any state. Boycotting affects its economy, number two. Number three, boycotting is telling the world that I don't approve this entity's policies. This is the way you are telling Israel that you refuse killing children. This is the way you tell Israel that you refuse killing women and men. You refuse burning civilians alive. That's how you tell Israel. That's the way you should use. Boycotting is important for you to protect yourself, to affect the Israeli economy, and to tell Israel that you are against its policies. That's why people should go and boycott Israeli products.
Well, since I do have you here, I do have to take your opinion. Yesterday, after the killing of Yahya Sinwar, an Israeli channel actually posted or spread the picture of Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ali in Iran and saying that he is the next target. Putting someone at such a high level as a target on their media, actually, what does this signify?
Well, I think that this is first of all signifies stupidity, because look, the difference between Sayyid Ali Khamenei and other resistance figures is that Sayyid Ali Khamenei is the head of an official head of the country.
Yes.
So when you ever threaten him, you threaten the whole country. That's different from threatening Hassan Nasrallah, which is the leader of a resistance group, Yahya Sinwar, the leader of a resistance group. Now you are threatening the head of a regional power. And you have been in a war in Gaza for 1 year and you couldn't finish. And you have been in a war in Lebanon for less than a month. And still you see failure in Lebanon. So it's stupid to be failing in Gaza, to be failing in Lebanon and threaten the head of state. That's just stupidity. And I think that's what led the U.S. to try to interact more with Israelis, to tell them that be careful. What you're taking yourself towards is doom. You're taking yourself toward the end of existence of Israel. That's why the U.S. is interfering a lot regarding how Israel will act with Iran. But I think that at the same time, Iranians should be careful, because Israel proved that it's stupid. It's not something that needs proof. So Israel proved that. So, and I think the Iranians do know that, and the policies regarding protecting Sayyid Ali Khamenei and other figures in Iran are being done today. But it's important for Iranian people to understand the level of threat Israel is doing today. Israel is not threatening only one figure. It's threatening Iran as a state. It doesn't want your country to be a regional power. It wants your country to be a weak country in the region. That's what you should defend the first phase.
Well, while staying to Iran, just for a moment, as we know, before yesterday, Israel has officially told the U.S. that their response to the Iranian retaliation, major retaliation, is ready. How do you perhaps, this, as you clarified, stupid, perhaps Netanyahu as being as delusional as he is, what kind of targets you think they are preparing?
Look, I think that in the last phase, Israel was thinking in many minimum targets and maximum targets. The minimum targets are military sites inside of Iran. The maximum targets are targets related to the nuclear program in Iran.
Yes.
So there's a huge gap between the minimum and the maximum, and I think the Americans interfered to convince Israelis to work in the minimum. And I think this is the more convincing thing, is trying to target military sites inside of Iran. And I think the maximum it could reach is to target things related to the protection of the nuclear program. But for me, I don't think that Israel will work more than the minimum, because the situation, the regional situation, doesn't bear more than that.
Well, whether it's a limited response or a major response, as we know, Iran has already clarified its position. Do you believe this perhaps could be a spark to any regional war?
Yeah, first of all, too, that whatever Israel decides to do, whatever decision it takes, Iran will retaliate. Iran will retaliate stronger than it did before. So, yes, I truly believe that what will happen in the near future will be beginning of a new phase. Who decides whether it will move towards a regional conflict or it will de-escalate are the Israelis. The more they believe the more they move towards regional chaos, the more then the chance of regional war will happen. And that's on their side. They should decide whether they want to open just multi-front wars or not. So I believe that Iran has the full right to retaliate. That's what international law states, well, that's what norms state. But it's on Israel's side to decide whether they want a regional war or not. And if they want, the U.S., I think the U.S. allies, Israel, should take into consideration that the war won't be only with Israel, that everything in the region will have a new Afghanistan, but an Afghanistan on the size of the whole West Asia.
Well, I'm afraid our time has run out. I'd love to thank my guest, as always, Dr. Mohammad Suaidan, academic and writer in international affairs. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, viewers, for watching today's episode of From Beirut. Until next time, goodbye.